Right. Test, test. Hello?
Test, test. 1, 2, 3.
There you go. Hello?
Okay. Hello.
That's it. We're done. No.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick.
That's awesome. Welcome to The Alternative. This is our studio. Hope you like it.
It's great.
We moved just because of you.
Oh, so. You did? Did you?
We wanted to make a
good first impression. Yeah, it's nice to see new business on the North End. That's great.
What kind of music are you into?
You know what? I will say my music tastes are pretty eclectic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All over the place.
I really do kind of like everything.
Well, good. Yeah. Favorite TV show? What are you binge and watching?
Right now I'm watching Nashville.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you have time to even binge?
Not really, no. Yeah, I finished House of Cards, obviously.
Yeah.
Like the political show. And
Looking forward to the next season, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. That's kind of weird, the demise of said character. And let's not even.
Yeah, to that. I know.
Okay. Hey, favorite movie. What's your favorite movie?
Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with Miracle.
Wow. Just moved you to tears. Are you one to cry at a movie or no?
Yeah, I love movies.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, that was
a movie.
That was a great show. Okay. And I love shows where, you know, people kind of unite around a cause
and
become a part of something bigger than themselves.
Love it. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So how many times have you been called Tara?
A few. It's okay though. I answer to it, but it is Tara.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you answer to your worship as well or?
Yeah, I mean, the formal title's Your Worship, so that's more for formal settings,
okay.
Like council meetings or very formal community events. Otherwise, people go with Mayor Veer, Mayor Tara, or in informal situations, Tara works too.
And is there actually a key to the city? Like, what kind of key? Is there an actual key?
No, there's no actual key, I promise you. There is an official city crest, but there is not an official key.
So where'd that come from, the key to the city?
There is some historic roots in that, yeah. But a lot of modern democracies don't necessarily do that.
You should get one. No?
Okay. Well, I do have a pass to the mayor's office, so I don't. It's an electronic pass. It's not super ceremonial.
I think that's good enough.
I think that counts.
Yeah.
Okay. So they let me in. So.
Life of a mayor, a busy. I was going to say you have a busy week, but you've just had a busy months and year and just nonstop, eh? For you.
You know what, Rick? It is very busy. I mean, everybody's busy. It's just a reflection of our modern world where there's a lot of competing demands for time. And in the case of Red Deer, my read on it really is that our challenges are great and our opportunities are great,
mm-hmm.
and they're one and the same in many respects. And so we want to embrace the opportunities that are coming our way and build on the momentum.
Yeah.
And so apply time, energy, and resources to that. But we're also faced with significant challenges as a community. We're a hub city, central on the QE2 corridor between two major urban centers. And so the challenges we face are significant. And so we apply significant time, energy, and resources because that's our job as well, is to address the problems that we're faced with.
Okay. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
I actually wanted to be the mayor.
No.
I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah. When I was little, like very young, 5 years old, and people would ask me what I wanted to be, I would always say a politician. And, you know, people would kind of laugh at that. And then when I would kind of, you know, fight that. And I'd say, no, I'm going to be the prime minister. Just you watch. And then, you know, I was a pretty strong-willed kid. And then when I was in grade 6, I actually visited City Hall. And then a few years later, I met Red Deer's first female mayor, Gail Sirkent, and she inspired me. And I remember sitting in council chambers as a kid saying, when I am of age, I want to become the mayor one day. And here we are.
There
I know.
We are.
Yeah.
So speaking of sitting in council, so you know what's going on with Toronto and with the whole reduction of the city councilors and all that. What's your thoughts on what's happening over there?
To tell you the truth, I mean, I've paid attention to it, but not too closely.
Yeah.
We have a lot of challenges on the home front, so I mostly focus my time and energy on the home front. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's always a delicate balance. You have to have enough representation so that you have availability of your elected officials in order to make sure that we're representing our citizens well, that they can invest the time and attention to the concerns of our citizens, but not have so many that it becomes onerous or bureaucratic or ineffective in its representation.
Yeah.
So wherever the balance is, I think we have essentially the right balance in Red Deer, which is, of course, good. And then I'm just passively watching what's going on in Toronto and thankful that we're not in a similar situation.
Yeah, they've got to go through another election, I guess. Yeah. No, whatever. Okay, speaking of the home front, let's get to our first question. And if I do this correctly, you can hear it. So here you go.
So I want to know how you feel about marijuana becoming legalized and how that's going to how you see that's going to affect the city.
Good question.
Yeah, that is a great question. You know, it is so significant for our country, and it's unchartered. Personally, I am challenged with it, just on a personal level. My greatest concern is the normalization of it for kids and youth, particularly when we're faced with a national and international addictions crisis, of course, which we see the consequences of daily in our community. Having said that, though, I respect the fact that it was the authority of the federal government to make that decision. And our job as a city is to respond to the legislation that's coming to us from a higher order of government. Our council stood with the Police Chiefs of Canada in saying that we were highly challenged to respond locally to the timing of federal legislation. Where we stand right now was trying to find the right balance in terms of the retailing of it, recognizing that it will become legal on October 17th. So we, by law, had to make provision in our land use bylaw for it, for those who chose to retail it, and to find the right balance and to make sure that that there was a fairness there without having proliferation of it, and to balance that with some of the directives coming to us from the provincial government out of concerns for public health and the normalization of it for kids and youth. So it was a very tenuous balance. Right now, the city has received, I think we're at about 9 applications for retailing of cannabis, and we're not sure if the provincial government will approve those or not. And the other part that we were responsible for as a municipality was in terms of the public use of cannabis. In some respects, cannabis is like tobacco, because when it's smoked, obviously it has health and safety impacts for those around us. And in other respects, it's like alcohol because it causes impairment. And so we had to come up with sort of a hybrid public policy approach to it. And so essentially the smoking of it will be banned in public places. And if those who are using it for medical purposes, then the same tobacco bylaw restrictions apply.
Do you think that will change as we get used to this whole thing? Like, are we ready for this? Like, is it just...
I don't think that we're necessarily ready because it is such a significant public policy change. I think that there's a lot of unknowns on either front. And so I think that we will, as a country, as a province, and as a city, I think we'll have to continue to adapt because there are a lot of unknowns with it right now. And so our job was to do the best job that we could with the information that we have today and recognize that we might have got many things right, but we might have got many things wrong, and that we'll need to adapt as we see the consequences, intended or otherwise, in our community as we respond to the federal legislation.
Awesome. All right. Let's get to another question right here. So take a listen to this right now.
My question is this. There seems to be an epidemic of homeless downtown with vandalism, small crimes, this kind of thing. What is their plan for the future? Having these less than fortunate individuals getting the help they need or moved on to greener pastures.
Yeah, a lot of people are mentioning about the whole needle situation too within the downtown area and beyond that. So how would you address that question?
Well, that is a great question, and certainly the question that everyone in our community is talking about right now. So there's a couple parts to that. You know, I think we're all seeing it. Across our community, but in downtown in particular, there's a greater visibility in terms of illegitimate drug use in public spaces. There's social disorder in terms of graffiti, needle debris, all types of waste that are visible. And so these are significant challenges. So part one of the citizen's question is with respect to the homeless and what are we doing with the homeless? So We're working on affordable housing stock. So the long-term solution is safe, sufficient, affordable housing. Having said that, though, what we are witnessing as a community in terms of vulnerable not being connected to sufficient shelter or supports, I will contend, is a longstanding consequence of the fact that our community for a decade has asked our provincial government for sufficient shelter capacity and support services to support those vulnerable. And because we have many agencies who are working to address these problems, but there is a patchwork of solutions. And in many respects, we have band-aid solutions. We have temporary daytime warming, and temporary has been 4 years. So we really are on the shelter front asking our community to stand with City Council in advocating to the provincial government and asking them to please hear our community's desperate concern for integrated shelter capacity in Red Deer, because we're the third largest city. We've had this ask for 10 years, and it's gone unheeded. In terms of needle debris, which is a very different issue but related to the previous one, we have, you know, and there's a lot of community conversation around this, and there is a misconception that the city is handing out needles, but it is the provincial government and the Ministry of Health through its programs. They hand out, through their harms reduction programs, over 500,000 needles in the central region last year. But there is no effective strategy for the exchange of those needles or the safe return of those needles. There's some resources in terms of drop-off boxes. But the fact that there is not a strategic program is the consequence of that, is we are seeing needle debris in our park system, in downtown doorwells and alleyways. And we're deeply concerned, obviously, in terms of the safety of the vulnerable and the harms reduction programs. Obviously, that's a concern. But the unintended consequence of that is this growing community concern for needle debris throughout the community. And, you know, there are awful stories in Kelowna, in Lethbridge, where kids have encountered needle debris, and certainly encounters in Red Deer. And so the city has a cleanup protocol, but we have been calling on our provincial government and imploring them to please put in an effective strategy before someone in our community gets hurt by needle debris.
Okay. Is that the same with the crime that's happening in the city? I know that there's a program that was implemented to try to reduce crime in the city, and what's the stats on that, and how is that?
Yeah, so crime obviously has been our number one citizen concern over the past few years, and particularly, especially once at the onset of the economic recession, certainly there has been incredible rise in property theft in particular. Much of that is fueled by drug trade and distribution, as well as addictions. Council took a very decisive action in this year's budget. We recognized that our ratio of files per officer was not working for the demands of in our community. So we added 10 police officers. We recognized that we had a shortage on the enforcement side. We've added 10 police officers, some of which will be doing downtown foot patrols as well, which will help with some of those enforcement challenges. But the other side of that is we have been more directive to the RCMP through our annual policing plan to make sure that our local priorities are being enforced. And then we're engaging in a complete governance and service review of policing, recognizing that our communities changed, our crime and the dynamics of crime and the complexities of crime have changed. And so we really are working towards modernizing our policing system on the enforcement side, but also shoring up on the prevention and intervention side as well, to just make sure that our enforcement needs are meeting the needs of not only the community that we are today, but that we're becoming.
What's one thing that you're proud of implementing as mayor? This is your second term, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm almost 1 year into my second term. Yeah. I think that there are a couple of areas incredibly proud of. We, you know, as much as we've been highly frustrated with advocacy for social infrastructure in our community, I think we've made some good mileage as a community on some areas of advocacy. Our community stood together in terms of advocating for university status for Red Deer College, for a justice center, because our crime and justice needs were outstripping the ability of the previous courthouse to do it. So when our community has stood together in asking for those types of initiatives from other orders of government, we've had great success. And that's what we need to do on the social front. Other areas where I think we've done a good job is have been in terms of diversifying our local economy. And one particular area is around sport and culture tourism. Mm. We do seem to have some momentum in terms of elevating Red Deer's profile provincially, nationally, and internationally to attract major events to our city, which, of course, are good for a local economy and for the sustainability of our community.
Speaking of major events, Canadian Finals Rodeo.
Yes, that's coming up.
Bringing a horse?
In October. I do, actually. I grew up. I grew up on an acreage,
wow.
And I had horses growing up.
Yeah.
My dad is an avid horseman, and so grew up with that. But yeah, I.
Are you going to compete?
No, that is not on the agenda. I'll probably give a speech or two, but that's where I draw the line.
yeah, that's gonna be a huge event for the next how many years, right?
It is. You know what? It is significant, mm-hmm. And you know, all credit to the people, the leadership staff, and many volunteers of Westerner Park and the Red Deer Chamber, who worked to secure that bid for Red Deer.
Yeah.
That will be in year one. They've secured a 10-year deal, which is incredible. And so we really will have an opportunity not only to welcome the people of our province, but people from across Canada and internationally who may be coming to Red Deer for the first time.
Yeah, that's great. And the Canada Games. Like,
yes.
What can be said about this? This is amazing.
You know what? It really is incredible. I will say, and again, credit to to the leadership staff and many volunteers of the Canada Games Host Society. Because of the Canada Games, we have attracted infrastructure dollars to Red Deer that otherwise wouldn't have went to another Alberta city. And you know, it's not only about the games themselves, which of course will be an opportunity to showcase Red Deer. But because of the games, we've been able to modernize recreation facilities. We've had new builds. We received funding. The provincial government approved the South Interchange project. We received airport funding. Our college has been given university status. And all of those projects were catalyzed because of the games. So, you know, they have left us with significant legacies, not only on the recreation front, but culturally, with the new downtown building and plaza, that the preservation of a historic building, but even in terms of our roadway and transportation network and education infrastructure.
Are you going to compete in the games as well?
No, that again, I'll probably give a speech, but there will be no. I think that ship has sailed for me. I wasn't the most athletic kid, so.
Come on.
So here we are. I was a bookworm.
By the way, we need the mayor to, we need a phone for the new iPhones are coming out.
Yeah, I hear that probably 6 times a day, but yeah. You know, it still works. And as long as it works, I'm going to use it. But
I have a 5S, too.
This is showing respect for taxpayers' dollars.
But 5S?
Me
too.
I think it's almost a relic in Apple terms, but not so much that. I think the screen is cracked in probably about 40 places. But
how many times do you drop your phone?
A few times I've dropped it, and my SIM card is taped in with Scotch tape. So,
God bless.
But it
you.
Gets the job done.
This is the Are you running again in 2021, or is it going to be? Is it too far to? Even
I think that's always too far to comment. You know, I think. My focus has always been, I've been given a mandate, so I have work to do. I'm not worried about an election. I think politicians need to get their nose to the grind and get working. And so that's always my focus. And I always make my declaration very, very shortly in front of a nomination.
That would be amazing if you made your declaration right now.
Yeah.
Way before.
Well, when it's time to make that declaration, I'll let you know.
I'll leave it. That's awesome. Oh yeah, why is every intersection have an advanced green light? That's one thing I noticed here.
Have an advanced?
This is a side question.
Well, yeah, you know. So here's what I'll say. You know, and that's a great question. Red Deerians have often identified their frustration with stop and start traffic in Red Deer,
yes.
And putting up a traffic light everywhere is what Red Deerians say. So there's a couple of things that we've tried to explore. Red Deer, in many respects, we're a small city that's become a larger city. Mm-hmm. So we've outgrown stop signs, obviously, at a lot of these intersections. And then we've outgrown, in many respects, sort of your traditional four-way red light, green light. But we're not the size of a city where we have flyovers and interchanges the size that, say, Edmonton and Calgary have. So, you know, there's some experimentation with roundabouts. The roundabouts in neighborhoods seem to work well. And the ones on major arterials, we're waiting and seeing how our public responds to them. The one seems to be working well, and the other one seems to be a source of significant public frustration. So we have tabled approving any more roundabouts until we can gauge our community's response.
The whole city should be roundabouts.
Oh yeah, I if you say that, your Facebook page is going to light up. So anyway, you can give me that feedback when you receive that. But you know, we have tabled it pending public consultation on that because it is an important shift, and we want to get it right.
Yeah.
In terms of advanced signals, that's in response of trying to get traffic moving so that there's not significant queuing. Back and trying to get traffic queuing. Otherwise, what happens is you end up with traffic queuing in one lane and then people missing, you know, multiple changeovers of a light. So that is the objective of advanced turn signals.
Does the mayor get pulled over and does the mayor get a ticket?
Yeah. Yes. I didn't get pulled over for speeding, but I did my... registration had expired by a month, so I did get pulled over, and
wow.
I paid my dues like everybody else. Absolutely.
I would think that RCMP would be like, no.
Free
passes at
all. No, I'm a citizen like everybody else. Oh, if you're going to make laws, you have to be expected to follow them just the same.
So if you go to a grocery store, if you go to a restaurant, or not that no free pass or anything? Or
no, I mean, our community is very good to me and very generous, with me. But no, I certainly, and I really do try. And oftentimes I'll be in a lineup and people will say, oh, go in front of me. But I don't like, I really don't like to do that. I'm here to serve our community and to be, to continue to be a citizen and to bring citizen concerns forward. And it's about public service and using your influence for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly not about enjoying the privileges that could come with it.
Well, let's get her a phone. That's good.
Yeah, phones are, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty standard business mode. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Not that bad, she says. Okay.